right. Get it together here, right? Get your thoughts together. Anyway, first of all, I think with that looking at me, sitting there, I think we should maybe take a moment and remember what happened then, because we are working with Muslims in Turkey, and so that's always before you. Those thoughts of the things that can happen are always before you, and also the thought of the brevity of life, you know. Those 3,000 plus people had no idea that they were heading into their last moments on earth, you know. And this past year, we've lost two close friends. One was a lady named Susan, and she used to support us and send us gifts and always lecture me about what I'm doing with my wife, you know. She gave me a lecture. She gave me a lecture last year. She says, "Gary, you shouldn't be walking that much. You take a cab. I'm sending you money for cab fare." So, you know, but Susan had a disease, you know, took her life. It took a long time, but, you know, it doesn't matter in a sense. It's inevitable we're all going to pass. Another friend, Pastor Albert, maybe you heard about him. He used to ride the buses to our church. He was a bus kid. And he made a profession of faith when he was a kid, but then later on he rededicated his life to the Lord. He became a pastor. And this past summer he took his friends out in a boat, his family and friends, and it's a long story, but he drowned that day, you know. His daughter was going under. He went in to save her and saved her, but he went down. And just like that, you know. It's like, wow, you know, how does Albert? Albert was a muscular, you know, guy. He's like, how does that happen? But, you know, our days are numbered. And I just pray that we all really know the Lord as our Savior. We can say with confidence that no matter what happens, if it's a long-term or a quickie, whatever, when I go, I'm going to be with the Lord. So I hope you've trusted Christ as your Savior. You believe on Him. You've accepted Him as your Savior. And anyway, so maybe just a quick remembrance of what happened back then, okay? All right, let's pray. Lord, we're so thankful that we can trust You. You know, we can put our trust in You, and we can believe in You, and we can have that assurance that when we do leave, absent from the body, we're present with You. And what happened back, you know, 21 years ago, Lord, we remember. And we can replay the videos that we saw 100 times, and we can remember where we were. So help us to keep that in mind, that, you know, our life is but a vapor, and that we would serve You wholeheartedly and just enjoy the days we have with You and with our family and with our friends here on earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, anyway, let me put my glasses on. I was telling Juan, I said, I had this surgery so I would never have to wear glasses again. That didn't quite happen, right? Now I have 3 pair. One for reading, one for driving, you know, one for... Anyway, but I can see. But
in Turkey.
Yeah,
we had it done in Turkey.
That's another story. But anyway. How many stories you want to hear? You don't want to hear too many stories, but...
We saw a lot of them.
I know. But I want to thank the church for inviting us today. Yeah, a pastor called me, and he's like, "Gary, where's the newsletter?" I'm like, "I'll send it to you, you know. Are you coming down here?" I'm like, "Okay, we'll be there, you know, but..." So a pastor asked, we try to be, do it. Yes, if we can do it, we do. But you've been on our team, our support team, for many years. I think it happened in 2016. And we're very thankful for you and what you've done for us. And Carol and I, just to refresh, we're part of Christar. And Christar reaches predominantly into the Muslim world. That's their goal, is to reach these groups that are tough to reach. You know, Middle East, India, some parts of China, you know, Turkey. Anyway, so we joined as what they call emissaries. When we retired in 2012, we were like, what can we do to serve the Lord? And we got involved with a friend, and he pulled us into Christar. And it's a great ministry for seniors, especially, because you come and go. You know, you go in for a period of time, you come home. And we have a big family, not a big family, but we got a good-sized family, and we're happy to be able to come home and then go back on the field. So it works for us, and we're very thankful. Anyway, I asked my wife to share a few thoughts, because she's going to tell you kind of what's been going on for the last few days, weeks, months, anyway, and give you kind of a little heads up there.
Well, talking about days, everybody remembers 2020 in March, right? COVID. Well, we were in Istanbul. We were only there a few weeks. And I think it was 6 weeks, and we were forced to leave the country fast. I mean, I never packed so fast. 12 hours we run, and we were at the airport leaving, or we wouldn't have gotten out of our apartment. Well, in 2021, we went back. And we didn't know. We were, like, nervous about going back. We didn't know what to expect, but I don't know. We went back, and we just got there, got in our place, and everything, we just, like, started going. We went off running. We got into our ministries that we were doing, and, you know, it was really neat. You know, the COVID had really, you know, calmed down. They had a few restrictions, but nothing serious. This year, we're going back in 2 weeks. We're going back in 2 weeks. We have a flight out, the 26th. But this time, we can't go so fast because we are bringing our pastor and his wife with us. As long as Jeff, our leader, has been in the Middle East, it's been 20 years, and no pastor has ever come to check out the ministry, which we desire people to come. But just because it's Middle East and it's scary and that, they haven't come. But our pastor this year is going to come and see us and what we do. So we're really excited about it. But the only thing is, I can't, like, come. When we go, right, we're going to fly. When we get there, you got jet lag because it's a long trip and you're jet lag. He'll be staying. We'll drop him off at our leader, Jeff's house, and he'll be staying there, him and Val. And then we'll go and get in our apartment. And then, like I said, jet lag, it takes you a good day to get ready. Then on the 30th, they're going to fly us out to Antalya, which is south Turkey. And we have a new church plant there. We're all very excited about it. So we want to introduce it to Pastor and Valerie. And it'll be new to us, too, because that church plant was just in the making when we were there last year. And then, from then, we're going to go to Ephesus. Now, that's amazing. That's where Paul preached and the Apostle John preached, and there's so much history there and ruins and everything, so we're going to be spending a couple days there, and then we're going to bring them back into Istanbul. And then we hope to get them to come and stay in our apartment, because we thought we wanted them to stay for a while with Jeff, but we want them to come in our apartment too, because actually Valerie is our niece. So I am excited about them going. I can't wait to get them back into Istanbul, because I want them to go to the church. I want them to go to church and meet all the Iranians. Now, the church is going. They've had their, you know, through the COVID, they've had their problem, but they're going. Also, they meet at the Han. It's an apartment. This is for the Iranian church. They meet also on Tuesday and Friday at the Han. And it's an apartment, like, it's a flat. And it's on the Istiklal. Now, the Istiklal law is like a boulevard that 2,000 people walk a day. And we're up on the, what floor are we, the third?
2 million.
2 million, yeah, I'm sorry. 2 million walk a day. There's no cars go on it, but it's amazing. And there's streets. It goes a mile long. And we're the Han is right there. You look out our window and you can see all the people going. So we want them to go. So people come in, our congregation's there. We have dinner. We sit and we talk. We have tea. Tea is big and not coffee, but tea is really big in Turkey. And sometimes we have some preaching. Sometimes we do some music. That's been all kinds of things, but I'm excited.
Feisty music.
Yeah. Yeah, their music is pretty feisty. They're very excitable people. So I'm excited. I'm excited for them to do all this, but, you know, they get tired. Every place you go, you have to get on public transportation. So we got to get those two used to going on public transportation. We might take a boat. We might take the metro. We could take a bus. Mini bus.
Dulcas.
We could take a Dulcas. See, these are all the transportations. It might take us an hour and 15, 20 minutes just to get to our place of ministry, but it's exciting. So we're, you know, realize we're going to have to slow down some, but they're only staying 12 days. They're only going to be there 12 days. It's going to go so fast. And plus, they want to go to see the Hagia Sophia. They want to go into the, you know, the markets and all that and just meet all the people. There's so many things to do. So we're really excited about going back. Also, there's another ministry I wanted them to, I'm looking forward to them getting involved, and that's when they have Moms and Tots program. That's also in the Han. It's on a different floor, but where we have girls come in with their children. Now, this is just the women and the children. But on Tuesday, we get the Iranians in the morning. We start at 9 until 12. We have the Iranians, and they all come in. And we feed them, and we have the children. We minister to the children in games and crafts, and the women do Bible studies. And then in the afternoon is the Africans come in. And so the first ones leave, and then the Africans come in, and we feed them. And then on Friday, we do all the Syrians. There are so many Syrians in this that we have to do some in the morning and some in the night. And there could be up to 100 people in this room. And it's chaos, but it's really a lot of fun. And again, it's a lot of excitement. And I want them to see that. You know, I want them to see it's so different. You know, it's so different from the ministry here. So I just want to tell you all about that. I wanted to say too, like when we go and we do all this ministry, in which when they leave, we'll stay. Gary and I stay and we'll do all our things that we always do. You know, then we go home. And when you leave, like you're on the field and you go there, it's a lot different. Because when you go home, you know, you got your home. You got your home. And the lawn needs to be mowed. And the snow needs to be shoveled. And you got your grandkids, and you got your church. You know, we're very involved in our church. Gary's a deacon now, and any way we can serve, you know, we're trying to be available. And I got 11 grandchildren, and my children, they're always in our life, try to be interactive. Him and I still work a little bit, not a lot. We do per diem, but he works in the school with OCs. I don't know if you know that, but they for subbing for school. He's a nurse. And besides being all of the other things that he is. So we keep ourselves involved there. And the last thing I wanted to say, everybody says to me, you're going to go there with a war going on in the Ukraine? I go, yeah, we're going to go. So far it's been pretty quiet that we've heard. So far we haven't heard anything about the war reaching out. But one thing, we got the Black Sea that separates us from Russia. There's us, the Black Sea, and there's Russia. So they got across the sea to get to us.
Well, the missiles can make it.
Yeah, he tells me, yeah, but the missiles can make it. Now, if we wanted to get to the Ukraine, we would go, now, Istanbul is the very north, farthest northwest, and it's on the tip. And if we wanted to go to the Ukraine, we could cross into Bulgaria, drive up to Bulgaria, then go through Romania, and then we would be in Ukraine. So it's kind of going around the Black Sea. We're going around the Black Sea. This way is Russia. And it'd take about 26 hours. So figure from where we are to the Ukraine, it's like going to Florida. So it's pretty safe, don't you think? I'm hoping it's pretty safe, but yeah. So that's all. I just wanted to share some things with you, but you know, just pray for us. You know, continue praying for us, and we are very excited about having someone come. And if any of you ever want to come, we would make you have a wonderful time. We would have a great time, and the ministry
is
amazing.
Travel agency.
Yeah, it's an amazing country, and the ministry is amazing.
Thanks, Kitty.
Okay. That I don't fall down.
Yeah, I know. Don't fall down. She hasn't been wearing her heels lately. She's been wearing sneakers.
I know. She got your heels on.
Anyway. So I don't know why people get nervous about going to Middle East. Automatically, they have different thoughts. Like when you read that bulletin, you know, you get these thoughts of violence or anything. But I've had a few experiences, but we've had a very good run. You know, we've been there almost, 2023 will be our 10 years, and we've had a few problems, but really it's relatively safe. I guess as safe as walking out here, you know, and safe as COVID can be, but we're thankful that we can do that. Anyway, so just for a moment, picture Istanbul, you know, that northwest corner. And there's a major, not river, but a strait that cuts through the middle of Istanbul. They call it the Bosphorus. And on the west side of the Bosphorus, that's Europe. And that's where a lot of the refugee population, that's where our churches are, that's where most of the work is. So that's where we go, the European side. And then on the east side of the Bosphorus is the Asian side. And the Asian side is where, you know, majority of the Turkish conservative communities are. And that's where we live. We live in this area of Istanbul called Üsküdar. And Üsküdar is like very traditional Muslim, you know. There's mosques everywhere. You know, we wake up every morning to the call to prayer, you know, and you walk down by the Bosphorus and it's just amazing. You know, all the ladies are covered, and not all, but some are covered. And then where our leader lives, he lives farther east in an area called Umrani. And Umrani is up on this hill. And there's this gigantic, brand new mosque, and I can't remember the name of it, but all I can think of is like the mega mosque, but it overlooks the whole city of Istanbul. Wherever you are in Istanbul, you can see that mosque. And it just reminds us that we are in a foreign country. You know, this is a Muslim country. And up there where he lives, you'll see many more ladies covered. You know, they have the burqa, the very little slits, and black is the main color up there. Black and gray, maybe, right? The two major colors. But the Iranian population that we deal with, the majority of them are refugees. And you've heard that before, the term refugee. But Turkey leads Europe in the number of refugees they've taken in. They have almost 4 million refugees. The majority of them are Syrian, but back several years ago, you know, the Iranians were the big group there. That's what led many mission groups in there. And so, actually in 2016-17, there was a big revival in Iran. So many Iranians were coming to know the Lord, and they were bringing their testimony and Bibles and their experience back into the country, that underground the church grew in Iran. And it's still growing, but I think it's maybe kind of settled down a little bit, you know. China used to be number one. Iran now has taken over the number one as far as fastest growing. So these Iranians have come to Turkey, you know, looking for a new life, you know, looking for work, looking to find a place to live. And so they're very open, you know, they're searching. And some Iranians will come for work, some will come for travel. You know, the wealthier Iranians will come for travel. And so that's the groups we try to reach out to. These ones that are in and out, coming into Turkey for a while, we try to reach to them. And that's kind of been our main focus, has been reaching to Iranians, whether they're short-termers or long-termers. You know, the long-termers are starting to settle down. You know, they're becoming more Turkish. You know what I mean? They learn Turkish, they work in Turkey, and they become a little more settled. And so if you haven't got to them yet, it becomes more difficult. It's funny, you know, once you think that now that they're there for a while, they'd be more open. But when they're there and they're first arrive in Turkey, they're very open to the gospel. But anyway, this crisis, this refugee crisis, has opened a lot of doors. It really has. And that's what she talked about, Mama Tots and different things. I'll talk about them later. But, you know, the Lord works in strange ways, right? We don't always understand the ways of the Lord. But, you know, pray for us. Keep us in your prayers. And we know the greatest need we have is prayer. You know, that the Lord would use us and give us opportunities to share. So just a little bit about where we are in Istanbul, you know. And maybe for you people that don't know us, you know, you don't know us, we're not that far from you. We live up in Mayfield, New York. You know where that is? You know, we're Albany, right? We're a little northwest of Albany. And we became Christians back in the hippie days, you know, back in the 70s. My wife used to have those little beetle glasses, you know, and long, crazy long hair. And anyway, and I had a little bit longer, right? I had little curls, right? They weren't as cute as your curls, but I had little curls. I had a lot more hair back then, anyway. But, you know, we were in that era of the kind of the hippie movement, kind of like Jesus seekers, you know. And a friend of mine was he was a firefighter, and he gave us a Bible. It was one of those, what would you call it? It was called The Greatest is Love. It wasn't really a Bible like we know. It was like a paraphrase, you know. And at work at the firehouse, where I first started working, I'd read that paraphrase, you know. I was like, wow, this is pretty interesting. And I always thought a lot about Jesus. We came from a Catholic background, so we knew a lot about Jesus. But as I read that paraphrase, I became more excited about Jesus, you know? Like, this is really a cool man, you know? This guy, Jesus, was really cool. And we started to pursue that. And then, long story short, you know, my brother became a Christian, got saved. And he invited my wife, and she went, and then she became a Christian, she got saved, and then my daughter, and then they started twisting my arm, you know, to go to church, and I'm like, nah, no, I'm not doing that. I love Jesus, but I don't like this church stuff, you know? But anyway, so back in, what was it, like January? January of maybe 77 in there, I just said, okay, and I started to read the Bible more. I got a regular Bible. The pastor of the church came to visit, kind of like your pastor came to visit me. It's funny, he visited on a Wednesday night, then a Thursday night, and a Friday night. How many pastors will do that these days, you know, come to visit you three nights in a row? And every night he'd be trying to lead me to Christ, you know. And the last night he prayed one of these prayers, you know, one of these Baptist prayers. He's like, Lord, give Gary no peace, no rest until he trusts Christ as Savior. And I'm like, what kind of prayer is that? Like, who does that, right? Who prays no peace, no rest, you know? But I couldn't sleep that night. I could not sleep. I was like, oh, what did he do? He put something in my head. And he gave me this weird thought. Now I can't sleep. But I started reading the verses he gave me, and I kept going over, and I'm like, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus, but I'm missing something. And it was that surrender, you know, that surrender, that trust, that absolutely just let it go, you know, that game you play, trust me. If I fall off, you'll catch me, right? No, anyway. But you know the game you play, trust me, I just let it go. And I had to really just do that. I had to say, Lord, okay, I don't get it, I don't understand it, but the best way I know how, I know I'm a sinner, I got plenty of those, and I believe that you created all this, I believe you sent your son to die for me, but so I did it. I did it the best way I knew how, and, you know, the Lord came in, he did. And I don't know if I felt it, you know, I don't know if I felt it, but I did begin to feel different, you know, and I did begin to act differently. And have a real desire to go to church, read His Word. And so that was good, you know. God used us in that local church up there in Perth, New York. And we got established, you know. We went to church and we went to, you know, different nights. I never thought you'd go to church three nights a week, right? Or three times a week, right? You know, be like, who goes to church three times? Anyway, but, you know, over time, you know, your habits change and your desires change. And we got involved in a lot of different ministries, but they led to missions. They all kept pointing us to missions, you know. Youth work and visitation and, you know, memory verses and just different things just kept kind of shoving us towards ministry, you know. And so we did that. We went early on in our Christian walk. We did some missions. We went to Puerto Rico for several years. Then we went to China for a couple years. That was kind of an in-between thing. And then back to work for a few years, back into hospital working. But, you know, when I finally retired, I thought, what can we do to serve the Lord, you know? When I wanted to really, really retire. And that's when our friend Jeff Butler, she mentioned Jeff. He is the head of the Christar team in that area. And he was home. He was here for a mission conference like this. And he was saying, Gary, what are you guys doing now? You're retired. We're like, you know, Florida, seashells, you know, that kind of thing. Kidding, I'm kidding. But he's like, why don't you think about, you know, coming over and visiting Turkey, you know? And why don't you spend some time? We could use you. You know, we have a lot of younger people, but there's not too many more established people there. And I think we could really have a ministry there. So we said, okay. So we decided to just go. You know, we decided to go. We didn't want to go for short term. We just went. And we raised our support. We did everything we could, packed up, and went. Right, that was like in the fall. And by the next, by January, we were in Turkey. So about 6 months, we were there, and it was great. You know, it was challenging. It was hard to leave it all behind, but that's kind of how we got into the work. And of course, Christar, you know, fit that desire to reach these least reached groups. You know, the Muslims. And people say, why do you go to Turkey? Why do you go to Muslim? I'm like, well, you know, there's a lot of churches in New York. There's a lot of churches in the South. You know, I mean, there's a lot of opportunities. There's Christian radio, Christian TV. But in Turkey, you know, it doesn't happen like that. So just being there is is important. You know, it can really open doors. So that's kind of how we got to Istanbul and got to that particular work. So anyway, any questions? I want to kind of transition a little bit. Anybody have a question or thought, comment? Ready to come? Ready to visit? We'll take it Ephesus. We'll take the Antalya. You know, we'll try to work it. Go ahead. I speak nouns, you know. We study Turkish because we're in Turkey, but we are working mostly with Iranians, you know. Now, I'll talk about that a little bit later, but, you know, but I'm terrible with language, but we get by, you know, we get by. I can find a bathroom in a restaurant, and I can, you know, para, money, you know, I can figure it out anyway. But Christar, for their regular missionaries, they make them learn the language. They have to learn the language. Most of the young people that come over there, first they learn Turkish for 2 years, right? And then after they learn Turkish, then they have to study Farsi for 2 years, you know? So they're involved in language for 4 years, and it's really hard. I actually had some striving with Christar about that. Like, look, these young people need to be involved in the church and study language, not just study language, you know? So we went round and round about that, but they had to know the language. We got through that because we're older, you know, gracious. Anyway, and we didn't have to do it. We're in this program called Emissary because we're coming and going. So they didn't make us do that. But we saw the importance of it, though, because when those young people got through that program and they're speaking Turkish and they're speaking Farsi, you know, I'm stumbling trying to say hello in Farsi. Shalom, chetari, you know, I'm stumbling. They're conversing with people and they're talking, you know, into the heart language. So it really is important to learn the language. Anyway, I'm still studying. Maybe before I go. No, anyway, all right. Well, let's open our Bible, okay? Let's hit the Bible. Because I do want to share a few thoughts about this whole Islamic sort of Iranian thing that's been happening over there. And I chose Isaiah. Chapter 45, Isaiah 45, 1 through 7. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two leaven gates. I can't read that beside my glasses. And the gates shall not be shut. And I will go before thee, and I will make the crooked places straight. And I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I am the Lord, which call thee by name, I, the God of Israel. And let's read that one more time, because I think really that's a really, really important point to really bring home. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that thou may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? If you think about this man Cyrus, right? This was written, I think, like 150 years before he was ever anointed king in Iran, you know? So this was an ancient prophecy that was fulfilled 150 years later. And it happened about 700 BC. And if you read other books like Daniel, you know, Daniel 11, Daniel 9, Daniel 2. Daniel had all these visions. And in the visions, you know, you'll see people's named like Cyrus, Darius, you know, Xerxes, Artaxerxes, all these kings of Iran that the Lord used, you know, and humbled and used them in a sense. Look at what he did to the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar. Remember that story, right? And Daniel, how he humbled him and made him sick and live like a dog, right? And then eventually Nebuchadnezzar came to himself, and what did he do? He proclaimed that there's no other God but Daniel. So God wants people to know that he did it, you know. This morning we're reading Genesis 1:1, right? And it says the first words are, in the beginning God, right? God created. There's no other, you know. God created the heavens and the earth. God wants us to know that, you know. In this world, this Babylon out there, Babylonian philosophy out there, wants us to not believe that, you know, wants us to believe that there's some other way it all came into being. But God has been using Persia for hundreds of years. You know, it's part of his history. Jeremiah 29:10-11. Maybe this is good one to start to read. I'm sure you know these verses. Jeremiah 29:10-11. You know, the verses that you claim when things get challenging, you know, when maybe you're not sure about directions or you're not sure what's going on, but anyway, Jeremiah 29:10-11. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good and good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. So, you know, the Israelites were scattered back then. In the time of Daniel, they were scattered, and the Lord was bringing them back. And he said, I want you to know this, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give thee an expected end. You've all heard that, right? Have you ever claimed that verse, you know? The Lord knows our thoughts. He knows the plans he has for us. And God's plans have involved Muslims, you know, Persians, Babylonians, you know, Middle Eastern people. And if you go back and study the history of Abraham, right, who was one of his wild sons, right, you know, Genesis 12:12, it says all nations will be blessed. Genesis 12:1, I think it is. All nations will be blessed through Abraham. So does that mean even the Muslim nations? You know, does that mean even Iran or Iraq or Turkey? You know, so God is using these Persians for His glory. You know, and if you get into Isaiah, all the prophecies about Christ. But well, maybe we should. Well, you don't have to turn there. But Isaiah 7:14. Talks about God's prophet, his son, Jesus, right? Established by God. You know, the virgin shall bear a son, and he'll call his name Emmanuel. Remember that one? These are pictures that God gave Isaiah while living in a foreign nation, you know, under foreign rule, that he is going to send his son. He's going to send the Messiah into that world to save the world. And you know, of course, you know Isaiah 53, that whole chapter, talks about that this Messiah, this son, this offspring will suffer for the world. He'll die for the world. He'll forgive us our sins, right? He'll take away our iniquities. He'll heal our land and so forth. The Lord laid on who? Laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. So Persia is all through the Old Testament. I mean, I can't tell you how many verses are connected to that area, you know. In the New Testament, you'll see a lot of words like Macedonia and Greece. Of course, that's Europe. But the Silk Road, you ever heard the term Silk Road? We're our group name that they call us when we're over there is called Nari. Nari. We're in the Nari group. What do you think that Nari means? N-A-R-I.
Iran backwards.
Yeah, it's Iran backwards. So the name of our group is Iran Backwards, and they do that kind of like a code. I'm like, well, you gotta be pretty, it's a pretty simple code to break, right? But that's the name of our group because we work with Iranians, so we're part of the Nari group. But there's several groups. There's the Turkey group, and there's the Iran group, and the Iraq group, and all these different groups over there. And they all take the words and they turn them backwards. But anyway, but all the groups are under one affinity group, and they call that the Silk Road group. So we're part of the bigger picture, the Silk Road. You know the Silk Road, right? Back in the days, you know, they used to export, business along the Silk Road from, you know, China, India, you know, all, and they would do transporting whatever, you know, whatever, spices, gold, I don't know. Anyway, but the Silk Road is, that's been the Babylonians used the Silk Road, the Romans used the Silk Road, you know, for different things. And we follow the Silk Road in a sense too. And the Persian Empire followed that too. And they actually expanded it to reach farther into, like Afghanistan, Iraq, what is now Iraq, around Macedonia, that area. But anyway, so Acts 2, you look at Acts 2, Acts 10, 19, you know, where the Spirit of God is poured out on all these nations, all these people from all over the world. Many of them were Macedonians or Middle Easterners, and they took the gospel where? You know, all over. They took it all over Europe, all over Asia, and they followed the Silk Road. You know, they followed that path to share the gospel. Anyway, so it's kind of neat to see how God uses men like Darius and Cyrus and the Persians to proclaim to the world that he's God. I'm God. There's none other. You know, I'm God. And I'm going to use you, Persian, Muslim, whatever they were back in those days, to let people know, you know. So God is humbling many, many thousands, probably more than a million right now, Persians, Muslims, by letting himself be known to them, you know. We don't go by this as far as doctrine, but we hear stories about many of these Iranians getting dreams, crazy dreams, you know, and visions and all that stuff. And they'll come to me and they'll say, Gary, I had this dream about Jesus, and I dreamt and I thought this, and I'm like, well, that's good, great. And I, you know, use that. And then what do? You open the Bible, you know, you talk to them about Jesus, you know. So you allow that thought, that dream or whatever it is to get you into the Word of God, you know, get them into the Word of God. And they're very open. It's amazing, you know. I've had young Muslim men come right up to me. They look at you like, you're not from around here. And they speak English, right? No. And where are you from? New York. New York? You know, they think New York, you know, New York, New York. But anyway, they say, are you a Christian? I've had that happen many times. Are you a Christian? Now I'm trying to like, is this a policeman? You know, what is this? Anyway, yes, I'm a Christian, you know. Carol, come here. And anyway, but, and they want to ask, no, what does it mean to be a Christian? My cousin invited us to this Bible study and they talked about Jesus and what does that mean, you know? And they're like open, they're hungry, you know. Every now and then that happens, doesn't it? Where someone really wants to know. Most of the time you try to talk to somebody like, no, thank you, you know. But they're very open and many, many are trusting Christ. Weekly conversions have been normal. I'm not kidding. Every week, you know, the Iranians are dragging. They love to bring people forward, you know. They have altar calls. And when one goes forward, about 20 come forward, you know. They grab them and they get around them and they pray over them and they talk to them, you know. It's just where they get so excited about it. And then usually more come, you know. When this one comes, then two or three more will come. Then when they have a baptism, they have to go to the Bosphorus or they go to a hotel somewhere and they use the hotel pools to baptize. But it's just really exciting. When we were in this hotel once and there was a baptism, we had about 10 young Iranians getting baptized, right? And so one would get baptized and the rest of them were there going, yeah, and they all started screaming and yelling and they're like, quiet, this is a hotel, you know, we'll get thrown out of here, you know. But they're so excited, you know, they're so excited about the Lord and about what he's doing. And we're just thankful to be a part of that. We really are. Anyway, Carol mentioned most of our work, you know, and I'll close with this, but it's not really scripture, but most of our work is somehow around evangelism. And I'm sure you're into that, you know. And we use, on the table, you'll see the little SD cards. We use a lot of those SD cards to give out. The SD card is the Bible, you know, and that mini SD card. It's a little chip, you know, goes in the back of your cell phone. And they can get those and they can put them in their phones and they can take them with them wherever they go. So we try to get out there and give out those when we can. Usually, they'll go in spurts, you know, certain times of the year, like in the fall, they'll do it. Then around Ramadan, they'll do it. And the New Year's, the Middle East New Year, I forgot the date of that. It's February, March.
Yeah.
Anyway, during these different times, they'll get teams and we'll go out. And they like us to go with them because we kind of like, they like foreigners, you know. So a foreigner out there with Iranians and like, ooh, what is this guy? You know, what's he doing here? And it kind of stimulates some curiosity. So that's the main thing we do. We also work with Gideon's there. I don't know if you have any old Gideon's around, but they have Bible distribution. The government has really came down hard on the Gideon's over there, you know. They used to give them permission, but they've cut that way back. So the Gideon's have had very little success the last couple of years, especially since COVID hit. They really used COVID to shut down the Gideon's. Anyway, and then with the different groups. So when you go to these mom and tot groups, you're meeting with the ladies and the kids. And what that does is you develop friendship with them. And these different younger groups are actually going to visit these women. They'll go to visit the women and the kids. They'll get teams. We're not doing this particular part of it, but this other groups that we're working with, they'll send a couple people to their house of this Syrian family or this Iranian family. And they'll get to know them. They'll develop a relationship. You know, they'll eat with them and so forth. And that's where they get to meet the dads. The dads are tough to reach sometimes because they're working and they're busy guys trying to provide for the family. So whether it's, you know, going out in the streets or working with the young people, kind of use the tools and the giftings and the opportunities that the Lord gives you. So we're thankful to be going back. We do ask you again, pray for us. You know, keep us in your prayers. Thank you. Thank you again, you know. Well, let's pray. And you didn't say cut, right? You didn't say cut. He just looked at me like, good time to cut. I know. But we do these presentations, it's kind of like all about me. You know, I feel weird just talking about me. I did this, and I did that, and I did that. And I really feel like sometimes it's like, do they really want to hear all I do, you know? They all have busy lives. You all have busy lives, right? You do a lot, you know. But you're missionaries, you know. We're missionaries when we're here. We're missionaries when we're there. We're all missionaries in a sense, right? And God uses us to let the world know that, you know, he's real. You know, he created all this and he wants to be worshipped. You know, he created us for his pleasure, right? So I encourage you to, you know, I know you know this. You've probably heard this from your pastor, but, you know, be a light. Be the light, you know. You got friends and family, and we're staying with my son, and his mother-in-law was there, and we've been trying to talk to her about the Lord. It's not easy, you know. She's heard us, and she loves us, and but it's not easy, you know. When we start talking about Jesus, she kind of like, you know, and she backs off, you know. And her parents are Christians, so it's kind of strange, right? She's a second generation non-believer, I guess, you know. So, you know, trying to be a light with your family, with your work, your church, your community, you know. So I encourage you to, you know, keep it going, right? All right. Well, let's pray. Thank you again for having us. And we'll be hanging around the back. We have a newsletter. If you want to sign up for our newsletter, we send it out maybe 4 or 5 times a year. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this church, Lord. Thank you for their pastor. I remember meeting pastor for coffee and pie back many years ago. He wanted to hear about us, and he said, yes, we want you to come. And he allowed us to come. And here we are many years later. We're so thankful for that, you know. And for his vision for missions. I know he's got a real burden for the gospel going around the world. Thank you for that, Lord. Pray you'd continue to use him, you know. And us folks like Pastor and myself, we're getting older. And, you know, we don't know how long we're going to be on this earth. Lord, we need some young blood to come alongside us and encourage us to keep going and get alongside to help us, you know. So I pray that this church would be coming alongside their pastor and helping him, doing the different things that need to be done. and maybe someone's ready to step up, you know, and take the place when he has to retire or whatever, you know. Anyway, so thank you for Carol and I being able to go and serve you this way. And we do ask for strength, and we do ask for wisdom and safety. And thank you for our pastor coming with us this trip. We're excited about that. And I pray that, you know, he would take that vision and share it with the different places he goes. Lord, and he'd get excited about missions, and he'd carry that torch in our area. So, again, pray for these people. Bless them, Lord. Use them in a mighty way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I want to thank Brother Gary and his wife Carol for coming and sharing with us today. And, you know, keep them in your prayers throughout the days and weeks and months as they go back to Turkey. We're going to do one more hymn, one verse, and then we'll be dismissed. Mark, you want to leave? Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time together, Lord, around your word and with friends. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.